As Archie and Kevin both said, happy Father's Day. I hope you make it a good one. Stay inside. I thought really hard this morning, or actually yesterday, about buying up a couple of cases of water and handing them to you on the way out today, just in case you get dehydrated. And care of yourself this summer. It's going to be a hot one, looks like. Amen. One of the things I've done the last several Father's Days, and Father's Day's like Mother's Day, it's hard to say something new. You can only just say so much. But one of the things I noticed back in my, looking backwards at my Father's Day messages, is that I have used this story. I don't call it a poem, but I guess it could be, to kind of kind of help us think about fatherhood. It's by Harry Chapin, The Cat's in the Cradle. A child arrived just the other day. He came to the world in the usual way, but there were planes to catch and bills to pay. He learned to walk while I was away. He was talking before I knew it, and as he grew, he'd say, "You know, I'm going to be just like you, Dad. You know, I'm going to be like you." And the cat's in the cradle, and the silver spoon, little boy blue, and the man in the moon. "When you coming home, Dad? I don't know when, but we'll get together then, son. You'll know we'll have a good time then. My son turned 10 just the other day. He said, 'Thanks for the ball, Dad. Come on, let's play.' 'Can you teach me to throw?' I said, 'Not today. I got a lot to do.' He said, 'That's okay.' And he walked away, but his smile never dimmed. He said, 'I'm going to be just like him. You know, I'm going to be just like him.' And he came from college just the other day, so much like a man, I just had to say, 'Son, I'm proud of you. Can you set for a while?' He shook his head and he said with a smile, 'What I'd really like, Dad, is to borrow the car keys. See you later. Can I have them, please?' I've long since retired. My son's moved away. I called him up just the other day and I said, 'I'd like to see you if you don't mind.' He said, 'I'd love to, Dad, if I could find the time.'" You see, my new job's a hassle and the kids have the flu, but it's been sure nice talking to you, Dad. It's been sure nice talking to you. As I hung up the phone, it occurred to me my boy was just like me. He had grown up just like me. And the cat's in the cradle and the silver spoon, little boy blue and the man in the moon. "When you coming home?" "I don't know when, but we'll get together then. You know, we'll have a good time then." As fathers today, I hope that you will carry this poem with you for the next few weeks. The backstory of this is that Harry Chapin read some of his work and he decided he was going to make a change in his life and spend some time with what time that he had, start paying attention to what he had been singing about. He decided the following summer he was going to make those changes. He's going to cancel engagements and slow down, spend time with his son. It was that same summer he was killed in an automobile wreck. We think that we got plenty of time. I will do it then. The best plans that we have sometimes don't come to pass. Now, there's nobody outside going to take your picture today. We don't have any little cheesy bookmarks to give away. I'm going to give you what I think every man who has to come to church, or not has to come to church, but you know what I mean. Every guy that comes to church would want this, and that is this, a short sermon. You know, if you look at the back of your sermon notes, there's just two things we're going to talk about. But it comes from Psalms chapter 112. The 112th Psalm is the equivalent of Proverbs chapter 31, where it talks about who can find a virtuous woman. Psalms 112 talks about a man whose life pleases the Lord. It says, praise the Lord. Blessed is the man who fears the Lord, who delights greatly in His commandments. His descendants will be mighty on earth, and the generation of the upright will be blessed. Wealth and riches will be in his house, and his righteousness endures forever. Unto the upright there arises light in the darkness. He is gracious and full of compassion and righteous. A good man deals graciously and lends, and he will guide his affairs with discretion. He will never be shaken. The righteous will be in everlasting remembrance. He will not be afraid of evil tidings. His heart is steadfast, trusting in the Lord. His heart is established. He will not be afraid until he sees his desire upon his enemies. He has dispersed abroad. He has given to the poor. His righteousness endures forever. His horn will be exalted with honor. The wicked will see it and be grieved. He will gnash his teeth and melt away. The desire of the wicked shall perish. God has a lot to say about godly men. Proverbs chapter 20 says, but a faithful man who can find. It kind of implies that they are far few between. Father's Day is a good day to come together to encourage one another as men to live for God, because this world needs godly men. Amen. Wives need godly husbands. Children need godly parents. Churches need godly men in them to make a better place, to make stronger families. I know that Psalms 112 is about David, and David had a little bit of a problem with family life, but he was a warrior, and the Bible says of him he is a man after God's own heart. He was a man much like you and I. He could relate to just about every problem that could be presented by our lives today. He writes in this 112th Psalm, the potential of a godly man. And we need to think about having a little bit of influence in our world as a godly man. African-American columnist William Raspberry in the Washington Post wrote, if I could offer a single prescription for the survival of America, and particularly black America, it would be restore the family. And if you ask me how to do that, my answer would be save the boys. Psalms 112 talks about two things we're going to talk about, and it's found back up in verse number 1. The man is blessed, number one, who fears God. He is blessed who fears God. He's not a fear of being afraid, but a fear of awe, of respect, and of reverence. It is our Father who art in heaven, hallowed. Respect your name. Holy is your name. We need men like that today. Instead of who throws God's name around in vain, that they show respect and awe for His name. This pleases God. When we fear God, God is pleased. He's happy. He puts His hand of blessing on our lives. And there is another group who are blessed when men like you fear God. In verse number 2, His descendants will be mighty. The generation of the upright will be blessed. He's talking about your children. He's talking about your kids. He's talking about your descendants, those who will follow after you. When you fear God, it transfers to your children. And we keep passing that on down the road. There are too many bad examples. There's too many dads like Harry Chapin who creates a son who is just like him. We need to think about godly men creating children that turn out to be just like them. An influence. Fathers are role models, and we talked about this, and I don't know how things work together, but in Sunday school this morning, we heard from several about how that the influence of their parents helped their relationship with God. As role models, we affect our kids. If it's not going to be you, who's it going to be, right? You've been placed in that position. From relationships, education, to mental instability, to crime, one factor looms as the most significant contributor. A home without a dad. The father factor. Written, investigators have found from the cross-cultural studies that poverty is not as important a factor in juvenile delinquency as the absence of a competent and loving father. You have an influence. The heart of every child lies within your hands. Proverbs chapter 13 says, "He who spares his rod hates his son. He who loves him disciplines him promptly." In training a child, there is discipline. I can think back to, we talked about this when I was around my mom not too long ago, that in church, we used to be whipped. There was a hedge bush out there. I guess that's the reason there was a hedge bush in my backyard when growing up. But you got to pick your own weapon, and then your parent would take it in their hand and use it on you. We don't see that anymore. We don't even have a hedge bush for you to choose from out here. Maybe we ought to put one out. Discipline, done in the right way, it's going to help. It show, the Bible says it shows love. The world wants to take that and in your heart and your mind turn it and twist it and make it something ugly. Therefore, we're like, hands off. Ephesians chapter 4 instructs the father, "Do not provoke your children to wrath." Don't you treat your children in such a way that you just make them mad all the time. Don't provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up in the training and admonition of the Lord. If you discipline them, help them understand why discipline is taking place. Give them the reason. Here's why. Give it a full-blown way of doing things. How critical? 2 Chronicles chapter 17, verse 3. "Now the Lord was with Jehoshaphat because he walked in the former days of his father David. He did not seek Baal. He sought the God of his father." I challenge you this morning. Challenge you from my heart. Start taking the model that you set before your children as something that's important, that's critical to their life. We're going to show a little video that talks about things you remember your dad taught you. Okay? You can probably remember some of these.
My dad used to always say to me,
"Do you think I'm made of money?
Turn off the lights.
Do you think money grows on trees?
Turn the heat down.
If you're cold, put on a sweater.
You call that music?
Turn that down.
Turn it off.
We're not lost.
No, we're not there yet.
Don't make me stop this car.
I will turn this car around right now.
What part of no don't you understand?
I'm not just talking to hear my own voice.
I'll tell you why.
Because I said so, that's why.
You call that a haircut?
What keeps those jeans from falling off?
Tuck in your shirt.
Wipe your feet.
Get your elbows off the table.
The early bird gets the worm.
You want something to do?
I'll give you something to do.
When I grew up, I had a job on a farm at 13.
Oh, as long as you live under my roof.
Stop crying, or I'll give you something to cry about.
I brought you into this world.
I can take you out of it.
How's the job search going?
Don't touch my car.
My first car only had three wheels.
What is this, a pigsty?
Go make your bed.
I walk 10 miles
house to school.
Through 10 feet of snow.
Uphills both ways.
In my day, when I was your age, I had 3 jobs.
This is gonna hurt me a lot more than it's gonna hurt you.
Do you need anything?
Are you sure you don't need anything?
You can be whatever it is you wanna be.
As long as you tried your hardest.
That's what really matters.
You'll get it next time.
You did your best.
That's my boy.
That's my girl.
I'm proud of you.
Real proud of you, son.
I'm so proud of you.
You'll always be my little girl.
Thanks, Dad.
Thank you, Dad.
Thank you so much.
I love you, Daddy.
I love you, Dad.
Daddy, I love you.
I love you, Dad.
Bring up any memories? Absolutely. I think I've used all of those. There are times in your life as a father you will use anything you can. First of all, he fears God. He delights in his word. He loves the word of God. Verse 1, who delights greatly in his commandment. Sounds a lot, and it reads a lot like Psalms chapter 1. Let me share those 3 verses. Blessed the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. And in his law he meditates day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth its fruit in its seasons, whose leaf also shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper. Fear God, delight in his word. That means to read it, to share it, and not only become acquainted with the head knowledge of it, but let it affect the heart, where we not only listen to the word and read the word and hear the word, but we obey the word. And that's the difference. Where we come is to follow. When we know it has some value, we find it easy to follow. When we know it works, when we know when we obey God, good things happen. Every time there's a choice, we're going to follow that. Follow the word. Do what God said. It's a lot better than what the book that you got in the library says. It's a lot better than what your friends said. Love the Lord. One of the things that produces is that you become a man with great wisdom. You begin to see life as it should be seen. You begin to live life as it should be lived. You develop a sense of wisdom that is able to give direction and take direction. How do you become a godly man? Psalms 112 says it in the first verse. It's 2 things. It's not heavy lifting. It's not a lot of baggage. You fear God and you hear what He has to say and obey it. Pretty good prescription, wouldn't you think? Pretty easy, and that's probably why God made it. He knew it's for men, and He knew if He made it difficult, we'd get lost somewhere along the way. 2 things, fear God, love His word, and obey it. When that happens, our life begins to develop. Not overnight, doesn't happen tomorrow, but we start developing, we start building layers upon layers, developing a life of godliness that not only blesses you, but it blesses your family. You read over the New Testament, when God starts holding us accountable, He holds the head of the house, which is the husband, first in line. We become responsible. We become blessed. So here's our challenge. Quit just marking time. Stop neglecting and ignoring. Quit reducing and minimizing the role of your life as a father, as a dad. It's something that's important. You are challenged to leave a legacy. leave something behind, a path for those who are following you. They have an advantage on the rest of the world. They have a good path to follow because you have given them a legacy. You've left that to them, that in their days of difficulty, they will remember that example that you set. You are the man. You're the man. You're the man this world needs. You're the man this your family needs, your children need, the church needs. I am glad to be your pastor of a group of men. Archie texted a text out there this morning. He probably wasn't good in the wake, but he said, "Happy birthday, guys. You're some of the best dads that I know." And I have to ditto that. You guys that are here at Calvary, some of the best men, some of the best dads. And you need to cherish that. It doesn't come easy. You've paid the price. And I just encourage you today to keep on following. If you're not on that path, hey, there's plenty of room for others. Amen. Bow our heads and go to the Lord in prayer.